We open God's Word this morning to Luke chapter 2. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. This morning's sermon is a continuation of a series of sermons following Mary through the Nativity. This morning, we focus upon verse 19 of Luke chapter 2. Let's read the first 20 verses of the chapter, Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. To that point, we read the holy and inspired word of Jehovah God, our text that we meditate upon for a few moments this morning is verse 19 of Luke chapter 2. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Loved of God, 2,000 years ago, God himself infleshed himself, came to our world. He was born of Mary in Bethlehem, in a cave that was reserved for the animals, a stinky, dirty, impoverished place. Mary gave birth there to her son, fully man, bone of her bone, flesh of her flesh, and yet at the same time, not her son, in his person and divine nature, fully God, God himself. Together, fully God and fully man, the firstborn, the firstborn, come to open the way through death unto life with God, for his brothers and sisters. Now, in that same cave in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph receive visitors. We don't know exactly how long it was after Mary gave birth that the shepherds arrive in the cave. It must not have been very long, because we read that the Lord is lying in a manger. They see him lying in the manger. If you think about that, that's not so easy for Mary either, to receive unexpected visitors so soon after giving birth. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. The visit of the shepherds opens up a new section in the gospel according to Luke, the section of responses to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angelic choir, the shepherds and their visit, old Simeon and old Anna in the temple, and somewhere up to 2 years later, the visit of the wise men. All of these things that are recorded now after the birth of Christ are responses to the birth of the Messiah, to which now we must add our response this morning. That's what this worship service is. It is one of our responses to this great event, a real historical event that occurred 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, coming of God in our flesh. That's why you're here, right? That's why we've gathered here this morning. That's why you've traveled here like the shepherds traveled. It's to worship him, right? Honor him and the God who sent him. The angel's response was worship. Glory to God in the highest. The shepherd's response was worship, and they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Simeon's response as he held the babe in his arms was worship. Blessed God, blessed be God. Anna's response was worship. She gave thanks unto the Lord. The wise men's response was worship. They fell down and worshiped him, and our response too must be worship. You worship him. It's God made flesh. But now there's another response to the incarnation that is recorded in this section of the book of Luke. That is one that we have a tendency to overlook. And that is the response of Mary here in our text in verse 19. The response of pondering this incarnation. Mary pondered these things in her heart. Isn't that part of the proper response of God's people then and now too to the incarnation? Isn't that part of the reason for a series of sermons on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in this time of year, that we might ponder these things in our heart? In fact, if you think about it, it's impossible to truly celebrate these things without this response, without pondering them. And if you think about it, the response of the angels, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, the wise men, and of Joseph and Mary, that response of worship cannot be there apart from this response too, of pondering. You can't worship apart from pondering the things that will lead to your worship. Worship flows out of pondering, among other things that flows out of it. These are not two separate, completely and utterly separate responses then, are they? They're distinct, the worship and the pondering, but they're together. They go together. Let's examine this part of it. Its connection to worship as our response to the birth of Christ today, all our life long, Let's do so under the theme, Walking with Mary Through the Incarnation, the pondering. In this series, we've had the announcement, the prophecy, the birth, and now the pondering. So notice first the meaning of that, what it means to ponder these things. Second, the content, what is being pondered. And third, the fruit that flows out of the pondering of these things. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. First, she kept these things. In order to ponder something, you first have to keep that thing. The word for keep there, Mary kept these things and then pondered them in her heart. It means to put a garrison about so that it cannot get away, to preserve. That's important. Things, especially the things of God, can so easily come into our mind and then how quickly they go out of our mind. They're there for a fleeting moment and then we move on to something else. But Mary kept them. She put a garrison around these things so that they couldn't get away out of her mind. She took note of them as important things that she didn't want to slip away. This keeping activity of Mary is being contrasted in the text with the marveling of the people of Bethlehem in the verse previous. Verse 19 begins with the word but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's making a contrast then, and it's a contrast to what is immediately before. And what's immediately before is the response of people in Bethlehem. These shepherds came to see Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger after the announcement of the angel. And after they come into the cave and are told by Mary and Joseph what has happened up until now, and they recount to Mary and Joseph what the angels had said to them. We read in verse 17, that these shepherds leave the cave and they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. That is, they went back into Bethlehem and they began telling everybody that they knew, maybe some others that they didn't know also, what had happened about the angels appearing to them and the fact that the Messiah had been born and you won't believe it, he's in a cave, he's lying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals just outside the city here. And then in verse 18, we see the response of the people to whom the shepherds revealed these things. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered. That is, they thought this is quite something. They sort of marveled at it, but that's all they did. They wondered at it, but that's it. And now in contrast to that, Mary, she did something more. She didn't merely wonder at it or marvel at it, but she kept it. She held on to it and then pondered it in her heart. It's good to marvel. Was it wrong that they marveled? Who wouldn't marvel being told this? But after marveling, they let it go. It was there for a moment, and then it was gone, revealing that the majority didn't believe it. Wow, that's quite a thing you're talking about, but it's just some lowly shepherds, and why in the world would the Messiah be born in a cave and be laid in a feeding trough for animals? Yeah. And it was, hey, that's kind of amazing. And then it's gone. But Mary kept it. She held on to it. She deemed these words of the shepherds, the information that they were communicating to her, as important, valuable. You keep things that are important to you. You hold on to things that are valuable. You protect them. You keep them. This is what she did. She held on to it in her mind as important. Do you? Because it is to you. Do you keep it? in your mind. Maybe taking notes in church helps you to keep it in your mind. Some people listen to the sermon again sometime during the week so that they can keep it in their mind, keep thinking about it, keep it from going all the way out of their mind the rest of the week. Certainly, we keep coming back week after week after week to the house of God to hear the word more and more. Things new and old, and even old things, we want to hear again because we want to keep them in our mind, keep them there. Some find that writing their thoughts out about it helps, kind of like a journal of sorts. For others, conversation with others about the things of God is what really helps to keep it in their mind. Some people have a notebook or a file in their computers for especially important things that they hear that they really want to keep hold of. I don't want to forget that. I want to remember that and keep thinking about that and connect that to other things that I've heard here. Good, solid, sound, not flighty music can help keep these things in our mind. Or maybe our mind is really gifted. We can hold on to things without all of that. But whatever the case, the first thing we learn from Mary is that if these things are important to us, don't just let them go. Grasp them, keep them in mind. And we keep them in mind in order to ponder them. She kept these things in order to ponder them. She made use of what she was holding on to in her mind. The Greek word there for ponder. She kept these things and pondered them. It means to throw back and forth in the mind. To throw back and forth in the mind. We might say to mull over. To turn over in the mind. To think about it here from this side and then turn it over and think about it from this side, to set it in the light of this, and then move it over here and set it in the light of this, to make connections, turning it over and making connections to this thing and to that thing that we already knew before. Undoubtedly, this is what Mary was doing. She was connecting what the shepherds told her, the angels had said, to everything that she had been told so far. To what Gabriel had said to her, to what Zacharias and Elizabeth had experienced, to what she was meditating upon from the Word of God before. She was connecting what the angel said to what had just happened in the birth of the Christ in a cattle stall. This practice is a God-ordained spiritual practice for every Christian in their Christian life, pondering things of God. You see it throughout sacred scripture. Genesis 37, verse 11, speaking of Joseph's dream that his brothers, father and mother, would bow down to him. And his brothers envied him, but his father, that is Jacob, observed the saying, that is, he pondered it, he kept it in mind and kept mulling it over. Daniel 7, verse 28, after Daniel had received these messages from the angel, hitherto is the end of the matter. But as for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. I kept it in my heart and kept thinking about it, turning it over, pondering it. It's explicitly commanded in Proverbs 3, verse 1 that we read earlier in the service. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep them in mind. Remember them and mull them over. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do you hide it in your heart? You think about it. You keep it. Memorize it even. And you ponder it. Yeah, but you don't understand. Preacher, I'm not a minister. And I'm not a patriarch like Jacob. And I'm not a prophet like Daniel. I don't have to ponder all these things. That's your job, minister. You sit in the study during the week and you ponder these things. And you come here and you tell us what you've pondered. But that's not for me. I go to work all day. Or I have other things to do on my schedule book. Well, Mary wasn't a minister. Mary wasn't a patriarch. Mary wasn't a prophet. Mary was a mom. And yes, the minister must ponder these things. It's his job to do so and to ponder them deeply so that he can draw them forth and present them to God's people in a way that feeds their soul. But that doesn't mean there's no application to us. I know we're busy. You could ponder these things while we're doing a lot of other things often. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we have to focus on what the task is at hand. And some jobs require a lot of mental energy. That's true. Understand that. But often we can ponder these things while we're doing other things. We ponder them. We're preparing for Bible study. Ponder them on our bed at night before we go to sleep. Ponder them in the vehicle when we're driving somewhere, in conversation with others. Ponder them with friends. When we discuss them at Bible study, ponder them at Sunday dinner after the sermon, and we talk about these things together. We ponder, must ponder the things of God. And when we do, must be a pondering not only in the mind, but in the heart. Did you notice? Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You think it's going to say her mind or her brain. That's where you ponder things. But in her heart, she didn't merely keep these things in her emotions to ponder them there where they would fade away quickly. She didn't either merely keep these things and ponder them in her intellect alone, or they remained removed from her, just something academic to turn over and to analyze, but she kept them and pondered them in her heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. The heart can include the mind and even the emotions, but the heart is more fundamental. The heart feeds those. The heart is the mission control center of one's existence. It directs the spiritual, ethical approach to all things. It directs the desires. It directs everything in one's existence. That's where she pondered these things. And the location where the fruits of her pondering would not be removed from her life, but where they would be connected to her loves and to her hopes, to her actions, to her goals, to her priorities, to how she carried herself, to how she would interact with others, and chiefly to where her relationship with God lie. What did she ponder? Well, the text says these things. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You could say three things this morning about what she pondered, about these things. First, generally speaking, we can say, can't we, that it was divine revelation that she pondered. These things are what the angels from God had communicated to the shepherds, from the shepherds to Mary. God sent those angels. They're ministering spirits, and they spoke precisely what God would have them speak. Mary was pondering divine revelation. So easy for us to ponder everything else. this and that and the other thing instead of divine revelation. No, no, minister, we don't have any time to ponder the scriptures. Too many things going on in our life. But then we have plenty of time to ponder the sports teams that we follow, to ponder whatever entertainment we're into. Ponder almost all day long the impeachment hearings and every new bit of information that comes out about it. Ponder everything on our Facebook feed. We could go to the mall and ponder for hours what clothes we're going to buy. Or ponder whatever else we might happen to be into. But divine revelation, the communication from God to us, no time for that. Mary mulled over. She pondered the words of God to her. Why wouldn't she? If God had something to say to you, wouldn't you take those words? Wouldn't you mull them over? Wouldn't you turn them this way and that? See them from this side and that side, this angle, that angle. See them as how they connect to this and to that and how they affect this in your life and everything in your life. That's what Scripture is. It's divine communication from God. Mary pondered it the same way you do, as inscripturated revelation too. We've learned in this series already. She was pondering Old Testament revelation, scriptures, Old Testament passages, prophecies of the Christ, the great passages of the covenant with David and the covenant with Abraham. She was pondering divine revelation before the angel Gabriel ever came and broke into her life. And now she's just adding more material to her pondering, this New Testament revelation of what the angels had said from God, and she wants to hang on to it. She wants to understand it. She wants to see how it fits with what she has been pondering before. Are you pondering God's word? Delight in it. Mulling it over. Second, we can say about these things that Mary pondered divine revelation communicated through God-appointed means. Because this particular divine revelation from the angels came to her through the means of the shepherds. They told her what the angel said. So too, we ponder and must divine revelation faithfully communicated through God-appointed means, chiefly the proclamation of the word on the Lord's day. We take that and we ponder it as it is explained, as the connections are made also for us, and our mind follows it and the applications too, and we take it and we ponder it, we mull it over. Yes, my job is to ponder it in such a way that by grace I can bring it to the people of God. Just like those shepherds brought the message, the divine communication of the angels to Mary. But yours is to, like Mary, then receive it and keep it and ponder it so that when you walk out those doors, it isn't gone out of your mind. That's the end of it. But as a spiritual discipline, we take it with us. We keep it in mind. We ponder it through the week. We talk about it. This is the chief means of grace. Chew it in the mind. Ponder it. Take it apart. Put it back together. Connect it to other things. See it in light. Be Bereans in light of the Word of God itself. See how it connects with your own life. your own life with God, how it affects your view of living in this world, how it affects everything, all of your callings, what you are to love, what you are to do, how you are to parent, how it affects your marriage, your friendships. Yes? Part of my job, too, is to make clear and pointed applications of the text to your life and to mine. That's required of me and of every faithful minister of the word. You must do that. At the same time, there's a limit to that. There has to be. The minister doesn't know every situation, doesn't know every circumstance, doesn't know everything going on in everybody's lives. Part of it is that God's people then take it and they ponder it. And they ponder their own life in light of it. Ponder the path of your feet too, Proverbs says, and you connect the two together. Shepherds didn't explain to Mary every last way this divine revelation applied to her life. Her pondering had to continue that. Her pondering did a lot of that. So we ponder divine revelation itself in the Word. We ponder divine revelation as it's communicated to us through God-appointed means. And now thirdly, most specifically, at the heart of that divine revelation, at the heart of that divine revelation communicated through God-appointed means is Christ, Christ Himself. The content is Christ and God in the face of Christ. What was the specific content of what the shepherds communicated from God? What was the specific content? It was Him. It was all about Him. It was this. We read it in Luke 2. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the hosts were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine what this meant to Mary? Can you imagine how astounding this must have been to receive this? That the shepherds told her that the angels had said these things, that they filled the sky. Joseph and Mary thought that nobody knew. Not a single person on the face of the earth knew that the birth of the Christ child had happened. Here they are. They've come down to Bethlehem. Nobody seems to care one whit about them. They go to the inn. They are refused. And in the night, they have to go find a cave and give birth. How strange. What is going on here? Blessed art thou among women. And the blessed among women is in a cave now, giving birth. Your child is the Son of the Highest. He shall be called the Son of God Himself. And here he is, lying in a manger. What's going on? Has God abandoned the whole project in the last 9 months? Does He not care? Is there anybody who notices that God has come into the world? And now she learns that actually all heaven has been watching. All the hosts of God have left heaven's shores to come down and to sing about it and to relay the significance of it. And this comes to her and it's overwhelming to her, and it explains to her everything that's happened and why it's happened that way. The angel said to the shepherds, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Why is the Son of God? Why am I giving birth in a cave? Ah, it's a sign. It's a sign that shows who He is and why He's come here. It's not to build some grand kingdom with glittering and power in the eyes of men, but He's going to build a kingdom in the way of death and poverty to the cross. And she's pondering this now, and she's making connections. She had to call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now the angels are saying, peace on earth in him, and she's putting it together. Virgin born, God and man together. This is how. It's him. She's pondering him. And she never stopped pondering him, you know? It's interesting. A little bit later in the same chapter, Luke 2, when he's 12 years old, and they come to the temple for the first Passover, and they leave him behind, not knowing that he's not with the crowd making their way back. And they come back to the temple and they find him. And they're kind of upset. Why did you stay here? And he reprimands them. It says, you ought to know, I must be about my Father's business. What do we read? Luke 2, verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She was pondering it more than, who is this child exactly? And she's connecting this event to the rest. She's there, we read, at the foot of the cross, pondering his death. She's there in the upper room in Acts chapter 1, pondering with the rest his resurrection from the dead and the pouring out of the Spirit. This is the purpose of Christmas. And it's entirely antithetical to the way of the world. This is the point. And this is the point of an Advent series of sermons. This is the point of Christmas programs where the children come and they sing of him and they speak of him and they recount divine revelation. It's to ponder him. It's to know him and to mull him over and to make connections. More and more of Christ. This is the point. The means of grace in all of our life long. More of Christ. To ponder his work and creation. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. To ponder his work throughout all the Old Testament. Search the scriptures, for they testify of me. To ponder his offices, a prophet, priest, and king, as the grand mediator of the covenant of grace. To ponder him in his humiliation and his exaltation. To ponder his vicarious, penal, substitutionary atonement. To ponder his life in me for regeneration. And what that's doing to me in my life. To ponder the faith he gives me as his righteousness imputed for justification, imparted for sanctification and one day glorification. To ponder his sovereign rule over everything at the right hand of God. His law given to our life. The signs of his coming again in the world around us, his mercy, his justice, his truth, how in his face I see all the attributes of God himself, how he shares the throne with his Father, how he's making all things new. To ponder everything is a gift from him. Even my pondering is a gift from him. And the connection between all of it and his glory and my life, my hopes, my sorrows, my brokenness, my suffering, my sin, my shame, my forgiveness, my delight. It's him. She pondered him. Mary kept all these things. Pondered them in her heart. Pondered him in her heart. And the Spirit blessed Mary in the way of it. Oh, the blessings that flow out of such pondering. There are many. I can only mention a few. A life kept from conscious, deliberate walking in sin. Who can doubt? But that every conscious, willing, walking in a pathway of sin traces back to what we have been pondering in our minds. Young people, You ponder the way of the world, its goals, its priorities, its hopes, its loves. So then your mind is mulling over constantly its life, communicated through its music and its entertainment, giving your mind over. It's going to affect you. It will begin to shape you in some ways to begin to view holy things as common and unholy things as God's. But ponder these things in your heart. Keep them, lay hold of them, mold them over. You will be shaped in your whole life by the scriptures, by truth, by Christ himself. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The very peace that the angels spoke of has come down to earth in him. Is it not experienced in part in the way of pondering this Prince of Peace? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee. No peace? No peace in your heart or in your life? What have you been pondering? Or kept from being ruined by false doctrine in a way of pondering? Therefore, the writer to the Hebrews says we ought to give the more earnest heed, give our minds thoughts over, heed the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let them slip away. Let them leak out as we meditate upon divine revelation in the face of Christ, truth communicated, part of the effect is we let go of what is false and hold on to what is true. We're not blown away, and in our generations are not blown away by every wind of false doctrine. Fellowship issues forth out of this pondering. The fellowship that we saw in Mary and Elizabeth and John earlier, the second sermon of this series, it came forth through pondering the things of God, and it will with us too. Maybe some people want to ponder things a little bit before they talk about it, and that's why I don't have a lot to say right now. Let them. Maybe another person, the way they ponder it is they just start talking it out loud. Give place to each other. But whatever our personality is, pondering issues forth in fellowship. It does. Finally, this morning, let's come to an end where we made our beginning. In the way of pondering, there is worship. Worship. This response of Mary, pondering, is tied to all the response of worship in Luke chapter 2. Some of you have gone wine tasting, have an appreciation for a good wine. As you roll that wine around in your mouth, you taste the different aspects of that wine. You start to ponder it. You notice this side and that side that you don't notice if you just swallow it down quickly. Its attributes. Hint of blackberry here. An oaky finish. Whatever it is. What happens when you enjoy it? As you ponder it, as you mull it over, turn it over in the mouth, you can't help but say something about it. What about the tasting of the things of God? As you mull them over in the heart, him in the face of Christ, you turn them this way and that way, and you marvel at the wonder of it all. Of God made flesh, and you look at this side and that side, and you connect it to this and to that, and you taste it, and you begin to see more and more pulls out of it by faith, and you can't help it, can you? But you praise the attributes of your King And he worshiped the God who sent him, as everyone in the nativity story does, as the Church of Christ has ever since. Mary teaches how to have the heart of Christmas. Chew not only on Christmas dinner, but on the truth of the Savior, out of which worship will flow. May that be in you today, and in me, and all of us, in all our life. Amen. Father, bless thy word to our hearing. We ponder these things of God. May the Spirit work to give us to ponder, and in the pondering, to know and to rejoice and to worship. In Jesus' name, amen.